This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, 3 o'clock hour of the Hockman and Crowder show continues. Solana out here at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino watching all the action at our Buckets and Bets event. Thanks to our friends at the Hard Rock Hotel, Hard Rock Bet as well for having us out here. Hollywood is with me. He's sitting in for Hockman Crowder.
Hawk and Crowder.
Yeah. So you got Solana.
I'll have to sit in two chairs at once. This is rough, man. I was hoping to get in there and really, you know, have a few drinks and enjoy the afternoon. Yeah, but Crowder's broken feet or whatever you're telling me, and he can't travel.
Well, you know, once you do this show, you're kind of doomed. You know, I tore my ACL. I have a shoulder problem now. Crowder.
Well, the good news is I don't do any physical activity.
That is good news. That is good news. I mean,
I barely walk, man.
I know you ripped me for years because apparently I didn't take over the media tournament, basketball tournament, and you thought like I was going to, but I don't necessarily remember you being, you know, the next.
You were my boss. You were my boss. It's okay.
Okay. Yeah. That's how you remember it, huh?
That's how it was.
Okay.
You were my boss.
So we're going to be out here until 6 p.m. Seriously, if you want to check it out, or tomorrow we'll be here as well. I know Hollywood's going to be here over the weekend. Joe Rose is going to be hanging out at some point here. Crowder should be here tomorrow. Tobin and Leroy are doing their show 10 to 2. So WQAM if you want to. Check it out. Tickets are still available for tomorrow, Saturday, and Sunday.
Yeah, so we're doing a show. I don't know if you just mentioned I wasn't paying attention. Sunday, we're going to do, Joe and I are going to do it at noon. We're going to start a show. Is there anything better than listening to Charles Barkley attempt to break these games down?
The best.
When he doesn't know one player in the entire tournament?
Absolutely best. Did you hear Shaq the other day doing the NBA on TNT thing on Tuesday? He was like with Candace Parker. It wasn't the usual group, right? It was the other group that he does it with. And they were talking about the Detroit Pistons. And he starts going off about Detroit. And he's talking about Cade Cunningham. And he loves Isaiah Stevens. And he loves Cade. And then out of nowhere, he's like, yeah, man, Chauncey Billups is doing a great job with that team. And Candace Parker's like, who? Who's the coach of the Detroit Pistons? He's like, Chauncey Billups. And they're like, nah. It's actually J.B. Bickerstaff. He's like, oh, well, guess what? I don't watch the Detroit Pistons.
it's the best sports show on TV. Those guys are the best. Barkley's really, really a good dude in person. I got to meet him at the NBA All-Star game like 10 years ago.
He was great.
Yeah, he was really, really nice. But I love watching those guys, man. And there's no one else in the game that can do that.
None.
That can sit there and like literally not know a single player. And just like break the games down and give their opinion, and
you want to watch them.
Yeah, I know.
During games, yeah, but they're funny. I mean, I'd rather go to those guys and be entertained and laugh and hear Charles Barkley try Shaq and then Shaq tell him you have no rings than I would like have somebody break down X's and O's on a random Wednesday or Thursday night between the Oklahoma City Thunder and the Memphis Grizzlies. You know what I mean? Like, I'm just not interested in that on a random Wednesday night.
I agree with you. I think I rip the ESPN show a lot. I don't know how you feel about the ESPN show, but, you know, every time they cut the studio, they don't be halftime. And I'm just trying to sit there and relax, and Stephen A. Smith is just screaming at me for some reason. Like, he's always just yelling about something. Like, why is he always screaming, you know? That show's just it's for the birds, man. By the way, this Cooper Flagg, how much do you think he's making? I've seen him in two commercials already during this tournament.
A stupid amount. And I know a lot of people people keep saying, like, hey, there's a good chance he stays in college.
No.
And, you know, because of the NIL and the endorsement money. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, let's say, right, because Carson Beck is making, what, $9 million this year? Or he's made $9 million this year? $4 million from you, but $9 million in total this season he's made in NIL money.
I don't know.
So even if it's $9 million, right,
uh-huh.
and Cooper Flagg, maybe he's making a little bit more than that, or he can make a little bit more. Let's say 10, 15 mil to stay next year at Duke. He's going to give up 30, 40 million guaranteed in the NBA.
Even that, it's the second contract, right?
Yeah.
It's the closer you get to that second contract.
But 30, 40 guaranteed no matter what happens, plus you're in the NBA now. Prospects for endorsements are even greater because you're in a bigger level. Like, I don't understand the people who are arguing, well, there's something about being at Duke and playing the college game.
And there is. And he's done it for a year.
but there's something about being a pro athlete in the NBA well, isn't
so,
there?
So I'll tell you, I've gotten the privilege to watch ACC basketball up close with Joe Z all these years.
We know what you do.
I will tell you that Cooper Flagg is the most impressive prospect I've ever seen.
Really?
Unreal. He's got the body like LeBron, right?
Well,
he really does. He is big
different
and
about
strong.
LeBron than
I know you're getting at, but he's big and strong, and he's athletic. He can shoot. I mean, the guy truly does everything. I mean, he is an unbelievably impressive prospect, and the fact that also, like, he could step into the NBA right now and be good.
For sure.
Right? I don't know how many guys you could say that about. Just can step into the NBA and start day one and be really good, and I think he can do that. He is the most impressive prospect I've seen. Just a guy can really do a little bit of everything. Not to mention Duke has about three of those guys on their team.
Man.
But
it's crazy. The weird thing is, you know, when he played in Miami and when Miami played them twice, his numbers weren't gaudy. They weren't
he didn't
go out there and drop 35, 10, and 6 and, you know, dominate. But he just – I watched those games. He just makes the right plays.
Yeah, Duke plays well as a team, and they got plenty of scores on that team. They have three guys, I think, that are going to go in the top 10.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah.
It's crazy. Well, the Heat right now perhaps will be in the Cooper Flagg.
How would that work? You're good at that stuff. I don't understand any of this.
I think they're eighth right now.
Draft pick stuff and protected draft picks and all this nonsense. How do we get Cooper Flagg? Answer me that question.
Well, you don't. I mean, that's the harsh reality.
Can we trade away the next 10 years of first rounders?
No, you can't. You can't trade first round picks in the NBA in consecutive years, which is why if the Heat this year keep their first round pick, they don't make the playoffs, they keep their first round pick, they have two first round picks this year, but next year's first round pick in 2026 and the 2028 first round pick won't be theirs. So you can't trade 2027 because you can't trade him in consecutive years. You can't trade 2029 because you don't have 28. So you only have available to trade two first-round picks, the Warriors, because they're not – it's top 10 protected. They're not going to be – they're going to be a playoff team this year. So they won't have their first. It'll be it'll belong to Miami. Plus Miami's own first-round pick. And then you can't trade a first-round pick until 2030. That's the next first round pick that you can trade.
You're not gonna be alive then.
Now,
a long way down the road.
Now, I want to switch it up as much as anybody. I would love to go get Kevin Durant at this point, but you're telling me I would have to trade two first round picks.
But what does Kevin Durant realistically do?
2030.
What does Kevin Durant do? Come on.
Yeah.
He's over there playing with Devin Booker.
But it's just
Bradley
something
Beal,
different.
That team stinks.
I get it.
So
like,
what is,
he hasn't done anything since he left Golden State.
Something is fundamentally, and you're at every single game and you watch every single game, something is fundamentally wrong with this team.
Well,
because
how long
their
do you
roster
have?
Is not, yeah.
We're on the air till 6. How long do you have, Hollywood?
But the roster, we started the show talking about this, the roster on paper should compete. And they should be able to beat the bad teams, the Charlottes and the Detroits of the world. They should be able to beat these teams. Something has just been fundamentally wrong with this team, and it's been, what, two seasons now, really, essentially?
Yeah, well, I think last year you can chalk it up to availability or lack thereof with Jimmy Butler, genuinely. If Jimmy plays last year more than 50 games, the Miami Heat were not a play-in team, which was the frustration, which is what led to all this. They were frustrated with him, and he wasn't happy with the fact that they were frustrated. The Heat didn't want to pay him because of lack of availability, and he was frustrated that they didn't pay him. So I think chalk up last year, strictly, not just Jimmy, by the way. Tyler missed a ton of time, but let's be real. Jimmy Butler plays the way he's playing right now with Golden State, head down, a menace. They're not a play-in tournament. They're not a play-in seed.
Did you see his numbers, by the way, at the start of every city that he's been in? He's done this every city when he gets a fresh start. He starts off
it's
real,
the Jimmy
real strong.
Butler effect, yes, and then, you know, wait until he's on another contract year two seasons from now, and he'll be doing the same thing in Golden State. But this year, I'm with you. Like,
you just have to handle athletes differently these days, and that's where I think this thing with Riley
is.
There's a disconnect there. Like,
nah, miss me with that. You said that earlier. Miss me with that with Jimmy Butler.
But look how it turned out.
Hold on a second. Wasn't Jimmy Butler the guy? Wasn't Jimmy the guy who is in your face, embodiment of Heat culture? Isn't soft like the new age athlete? I say that with air quotes because I don't necessarily agree with all that. Like he was when you were cultivating what a Heat culture player was, somebody who could take tough love, somebody who could hear Pat Riley tell him, hey, I need you on the court more. That was Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, until you mess with his money.
Well, you're messing,
the guy
you're messing
wanted,
with the Heat's chances.
He wanted his contract.
You're messing with the organization's chances to actually be in a position to succeed by missing games. And by not taking the regular season serious, based off what? Because one season you guys went on a good playoff run. Why not position yourself to be the 6 seed or the 5 seed or the 4 seed and have home court advantage?
But this nonsense started all the way back from the beginning of training camp, from media day. He was upset, right? So how do you go into a season? How do you go into a season and think you're going to screw with this guy? I know he said the right things. You could tell that this thing was heading in that direction. You could just tell.
Hollywood, I'm not disagreeing with you at all that the Heat should have known their guy. They should have had more foresight, and they should have known, hey, we should get out ahead of this because.
And if you don't want to keep him, you could have traded him, would add value at that point, right?
Better value than what they got. There's no doubt about that.
I mean, they got scraps.
But at the same time, you don't buy into the notion that the Heat already gave him a $150 million extension. That's already been done. It's not like they never gave him money. They gave him the original money. And then after getting swept in the first round of Milwaukee, where he didn't play very well in that first round series, if you don't remember, they gave him the $150 million extension that year. So this idea that Miami never paid Jimmy Butler is ridiculous. It's just not true. I get it. He wants to get paid this year. He doesn't
the whole thing
play
was mishandled.
Year.
It was mishandled from the beginning, from Riley's press conference
I'm
and
not
on.
Disagreeing, but to act like Jimmy Butler here, you know, didn't play the fiddle with the Miami Heat a little bit and was acting out of turn a little bit, could have handled the situation
you also,
better,
just
for
can't,
sure.
You can't call guys out anymore either, man. And that's where, again, there's just this – and I know fans get upset. And I know people are like, this is BS, and, you know, everyone's weak and this and that. But that's the reality, right? You have to live in reality. And I always pair Jimmy and Tyreek together because they quit in the same week.
Same week.
You know that. They quit on their teams in the same week.
Same
week.
So
they're tied together forever. But those guys are like the same guy, man. They need to be coddled. They need to, you know, they need to be taken care of. And they gave Tyreek his contract, too. Right? They took care of him before the season. He still quit.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, these guys are very, very tough to deal with. And who's to say, if the Dolphins get off to a bad start this season, you don't think Tyreek is going to spiral out of control?
Yeah. And you
it'll
know
be,
what?
It'll be a mess.
I don't blame him.
By the way, if you screw with him and you don't make him a captain or whatever.
He doesn't deserve to be a captain.
Or you punish him for being late now all of a sudden, I don't know, man. I know the old heads get upset about that stuff, and I don't love it either because I have to be on time for work. But you know what, man? These athletes have all the power. Yeah. What are you going to do to Tyreek that's going to hurt him if you're the Dolphins? What are you going to do? Cut him?
No, you trade him.
Trade him? What could you possibly do to Tyreek Hill to upset him?
Yeah, you trade him. But
same thing with Jimmy Butler. Jimmy knew he was going to get his way one way or the other, right? He knew, and he did.
He did.
He threw a big enough fit, and he got exactly what he wanted.
But I think the Heat also, with where the situation got to, I think the Heat got what they wanted, too. You know, hindsight's easy now to say that wasn't what they should have gone after. But had you told me throughout that entire process before it was official, hey, you're going to end up with Andrew Wiggins and a first-round pick, I would have said, all right, like, yeah, I mean, sign me up.
Really?
Yeah. It's the, easy the problem, now. It's easy now to is, look back on it and say,
I always looked at it like this. If you were going to move on from Jim, you're going to get rid of Jimmy, you were giving up your chance to compete for a championship.
Yeah.
Right? And again, I don't know.
But they
I don't know if Jimmy's going to be healthy. I don't know if he's going to play. I don't know what's going to happen.
They weren't competing for a championship with Jimmy Butler this season, and he wanted a certain contract
got this,
extension.
Jimmy. The way he's playing now.
So your alternative in late January was what? Pay Jimmy Butler? That's what you're saying?
When you eventually decided you wanted to get into this, you know, this peeing contest with Jimmy and going back and forth, right? And we knew how this was going to end, right? They weren't going to hug it out and you know make amends. Once you started going down that road, you essentially said, all right, we know that we're not a championship-caliber team. We are going to move on from this guy because Jimmy Butler is one of a few players who have proven that they can put you on their shoulders and take you to a championship. Luka Doncic did it last year. They just traded him for scraps too. But
yeah, not your best example. No, but I get what you're saying. But the Heat were in a position where this year they weren't competing for a title with Jimmy Butler either because he was, you know, sitting in the corner and wanted no part of this roster. So, I mean, that's just the reality that they were facing. Anyways,
have you seen really quick? Have you seen Trevor shoot? Look at this.
Yeah,
look at this.
It's not good.
Good Lord.
It's not good. Yeah.
He never touched a basketball in his life.
Jay Figg has a better shooter. Look at that.
Yeah.
Jay Figg knocking in jumpers.
Look at this guy.
Man. It's tough. That's tough. Let's let's do headlines.
I'm trying to like paint the picture without being offensive of how he's shooting.
Let's do headlines. Don't get me in trouble, man. Hollywood. I know
he just shot over the backboard.
You guys in the morning show. You guys get away with anything you want because nobody that can get you in trouble is tuned in.
I don't want to
get in trouble.
Len, how can I describe the way Trevor is shooting a basketball without getting in trouble? How would you describe? Watch how Trevor shoots the ball. How would you describe this without getting in trouble? Shoot
from the hip.
He does like an arm flail. Like what would you call that? That's what I figured.
Let's do headlines. Dan Day and Jimmy are back
that
in the studio. Let's do headlines.
These headlines, they are brought to you by Doral Volkswagen. Choose from over 500 new Volkswagen models in inventory like the Atlas, Tiguan, and Taos. Remember, when it comes to Volkswagen, the great deals are at Doral Volkswagen. Cade Cunningham had a nice shot last night, although perfectly defended. Buzzer beater, bank shot for three. 116-113 winner for Detroit. 9-game losing streak hopefully comes to an end tomorrow, 8 o'clock when the Rockets come to town.
Yeah, they're riding an 8-game win streak. So, I wonder if the line is out. Yeah, let's see. Wisconsin's going to run away with this game, Hollywood. I've got them, and I think I have them winning one of my brackets.
We have not had one close game.
Not yet.
No.
Houston's blowing out SIU. What is that? Southern Illinois, right?
Edwardsville,
and
yeah.
And then Auburn's blowing out Alabama State. No? What's SIU, Dan?
Yeah.
Do you know?
It's SIUE.
Yeah, Edwardsville.
Yeah, but it's Southern Illinois University, is it not?
I think it's Southern Indiana University.
Southern Indiana.
I would say
same thing.
Southern Illinois.
No, it is Southern Illinois. You're right. It's Southern Illinois,
is it?
Edwardsville.
Is it?
Yep.
Wow.
Man, Hollywood.
Good job, man.
Here, Hollywood.
Southern Illinois.
You know, we're professional. We're professional on the
So they have
the
multiple campuses?
Though, right?
Is that what you're telling me? Southern Illinois has multiple campuses?
Yeah,
yes. That one's Edwardsville?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. We're professional. You know, we got our stuff right. Or let's see.
Boy, the university system in Southern Illinois is thriving.
no line yet for tomorrow's Heat and Rockets game. You want to know tonight's games, Hollywood?
Yeah, what do you got? What do you got?
Let's see. We got Golden State is playing Toronto. They're 14-point favorites at home.
We know everyone's sitting these days.
Yeah, I don't know if
I'm
Steph
in the
Curry's
fantasy basketball playoffs, and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander just decided he's going to take a night off. What's wrong with that league, man?
The Lakers. Man, are you always this like curmudgeon-y? I mean,
yeah.
you're upset with Tyreek.
They should play.
You're ripping the Heat. You're ripping the players. Who else do you want to rip?
Well, listen, you support the. You told me you started off the show by telling me they played hard.
It wasn't my mistake.
I mean,
Lakers are 6-point dogs at home to the Milwaukee Bucks, but LeBron is out tonight. What else you got, Dan?
We have the Canes baseball team. They open a 3-game set against FSU tonight at Mark Light Field. First pitch is at 7 o'clock.
Is tonight the day that Coach Spo is throwing out the first pitch? Dan, it is tonight, right?
It is tonight, yes, correct.
Yeah, hold on a second.
Poor Spo.
Poor Spo. You think he's got – I asked – who did I ask yesterday? Amy Audibert. You think Spo you can throw some cheese out on the mound? What do you think?
I think he's a good athlete, yeah.
Oh, he
yeah,
played college basketball, for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Today, Canes FSU, Mark Light Shake. They have a shake rivalry today, Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
The Snickerdoodle Shake.
Okay.
Versus the cannoli. And it's literally.
The cannoli looked good. I saw the cannoli.
Put it up here to the camera. So Snickerdoodle.
Did you see the cheesesteak one that they did earlier?
Mm-hmm.
They actually put a cheesesteak sandwich on top of a milkshake.
I did a little sirloin and some cheese and a bread inside the shake. But they do that like with the salmon and the lox when they're
playing.
Yeah,
I saw that one
New
too.
York
I
pools.
Hate bagels, salmon and lox bagels.
Yeah, you and me are like the only two Jews that don't like.
Lox. I can't do that.
Me neither. No. Well, I'm allergic to seafood.
It's just very salty. Oh, that's right. You're allergic to seafood.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really. But oh. I just tell people that I am.
Who was? Someone's allergic to seafood. All right, anyway, keep going.
Cannoli. You like a cannoli?
I do like a good cannoli.
Really?
Yeah. You don't?
I mean, it's fine. I'm not.
You know,
like,
it's cheese on the inside, right?
Right.
Is it cheese?
Yeah.
It's a good dessert.
It's cheese. All right, what else you got, Dan?
They got fresh cookies inside, by the way.
Do they really?
Yeah. And brownies. All with right. Some kind of design on the top. Like
okay.
A design chocolate.
Okay.
Very nice.
All right.
Very nice.
A little
classy.
Bougie. Yeah, well, it's
classy
bougie
touch.
Out here, man. Yeah.
Real quick, the Panthers are in Columbus tonight to take on the Blue Jackets. That puck drops at 7 o'clock.
That could be our Cat Talk, which is sponsored by Hollywood Kia. Get the star treatment at Hollywood Kia, the number one Kia dealer in all of Florida. We want to see you in a Hollywood Kia and shop online at HollywoodKia.com. I'll check what the line is for the Cats as well.
Thank you to the Panthers,
we're
man.
We're at it.
Heat season will be over early.
Seriously.
Thank you to the Panthers.
I mean, we had Coach L on, but, you know, Canes basketball this year wasn't.
Well, that ended about 2 weeks ago, yeah.
Wasn't
he didn't make
really
the conference
anything.
Tournament.
They did.
Isn't that crazy?
That's tough. Canes women's basketball didn't either. FAU's not in the tournament. FIU's not in the tournament. The Heat have lost 9 straight. I mean, things are kind of tough. The Dolphins didn't make the playoffs. Tua missed half the season. If it wasn't for the Florida Panthers, like we'd have nothing to really be happy about here. The Marlins are starting
think.
Now. The Marlins are starting now.
Oh, well, they should win a lot of games.
I mean, that's not
you
saying
got Nova.
Much.
What about Nova basketball? They don't they haven't lost a game.
Yeah,
like
shout
five
out to
years.
Nova.
Yeah.
Shout out to Nova.
They're a local team.
I have. I think Monroe's going to join us in the next segment. I do have though, under 10 days away from Marlins opening day, Hollywood, their projected opening day lineup, their projected opening day roster. I want to run through it at some point on today's show.
Go ahead.
The Panthers are 1.5-point favorites tonight. On the road at the Columbus Blue Jackets. You can get them on the money line at minus 185. The 1.5 goal is at plus 130, though, if you want to bet them to win by 2 goals or more at plus 130. That's not terrible. All right. What else you got, Dan?
Weather from the Mesman-Dover Law Firm, youraccidentattorneys.com. Free consultations 24-7 at 866-954-MORE. Clear and somewhat cool here for South Florida. Temperatures in the low 70s going to drop to the low 60s tonight.
All right. Brian Monroe's out here. Again, we're at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood. It's our Buckets and Bets event. We've got TVs everywhere for you to watch all the tournament action. It's college basketball heaven. There's tickets at WQAM.com. Hollywood.
It's been college basketball hell for me so far. I've been losing everything here. Can we get Clemson to win by 7?
I want you to tell us what you bet when we come back.
Yeah,
so we can
go
all
the opposite.
You. Yeah, we'll fade.
Well,
Hollywood.
The problem is I usually take those boosts that they put up there.
Mm-hmm.
So they had the boost on Clemson to win
it's
by 7.
It's hard to lay off of the boost.
I know. It is hard to lay off the boost.
Yeah,
love the extra juice.
Clemson and McNeese State just tipped off.
I have not watched McNeese State much this year. Have you?
Oh, no. I mean, I've been tuned in. Yeah. Where is McNeese State? Is that Tennessee?
Probably.
Lake Charles, Louisiana. Lake Charles, Louisiana. Will Wade.
It?
Yeah, Will Wade is the coach. Yeah.
All right.
I was going to say it's in southern Illinois somewhere. But
Hollywood and Solana will take you up until 6. We'll take a quick break. I think Brian Monroe, who's out here, he's going to
look at those shoes Monroe is wearing. Yeah, my God.
Yeah, he's got to flex. You know, he's at the Hard Rock. He's got to flex a little bit. Brian Monroe is going to join us in the next segment on Hockman and Crowder.
You're listening to the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Cracker Barrel, their naming back in the day was terrible.
I actually like it.
Hawk and Crowder.
All right, the Hawkman and Crowder Show continues. We are live at Hard Rock Hotel and Casino for our Buckets and Bets event. We got our eye on all the games right now. Auburn actually kind of on upset alert, but it's so early. It's in the first half. So we'll keep you updated. Hollywood is out here with me. We'll be here till 6 p.m., but I'm excited to bring on Brian Monroe, who is just hanging out here at the event. Brian Monroe, of course, Canes football alum, but he's also our analyst for the pregame show, so I'm pretty much sitting with the Canes football pregame show. So
feels like football season. We're back up on a stage right outside. This is nice.
Feels good.
Yeah.
Beautiful property here.
Happy to have you. Happy to have you on, man.
Yeah, appreciate it. I just walking around here doing nothing but a little bit of working and stuff like that. But it's a great event. I think it's they've done amazing job inside and outside here with Buckets and Bets, with the Seminole property as well as Hard Rock Bet. It's enjoying it, and knew I would see some familiar faces.
There's a basketball hoop out there. If Hollywood took 10 free throws, how many is he making?
One.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One.
That's what I have
one.
As well. Yeah.
Really?
I'm setting the over-under at 2, and I'm taking the under.
One.
Uh-huh. Okay.
I mean, you didn't answer what you would make.
I mean, I'll say 6.
6?
Yeah.
I'll take the under.
6 out of 10.
You said 1.
I'll still take the
you
under.
You said 1.
I'll take the under.
Fine.
There you go.
If I hit 7, I get to choose my prize.
Oh, yeah, right.
Monroe, I know you guys obviously paid close attention to the Canes football team this year. The latest mock drafts all have Cam Ward, number one quarterback for sure, taking over Shedeur Sanders. But my question to you is, does he go number one? I don't know if the Titans take him, if another team trades up for him, but your gut feeling right now, Cam Ward, should he be the number one overall draft pick in the upcoming draft?
Absolutely, because when you look at it, there's one position that all football teams overvalue, overdraft, and you have to have your point man when it comes to the NFL. When you look at all the teams that have been successful in the last 15, 20, 25 years, maybe two of them were carried by defenses, the Ravens with Joe Flacco and maybe the Eagles with Nick Foles. Everyone else has had a true point man. When you look at this draft, Cam Ward can do everything. He's got everything in the game that you want, and he also is the type of human being you want leading your franchise. Great kid off the field. We talk about pregame all the time, and the couple times that I met him and hung out, he really only cares about four things: faith, football, his family, and his dog.
Now that's it feels it. Like we're doing a pregame show.
Now we're just like
now
we're
doing a pregame show.
But when it comes down,
but seriously, I don't think you're wrong, because it's so easy to take that angle with anybody that comes in any sport. Like, oh, they're committed, they're focused, bro. Cam Ward, I genuinely believe, like all season long, nothing fazed him. They'd win a big game at UF in the swamp. He'd go on and he'd say, "We're already looking at next week." Like, he has swag, but it's not in your face swag.
Yeah,
it's like just composure. And you know, he just seems a lot older for his age. You know, he seems like he's ready to be the organizational guy or the franchise leader.
When you interview him, that's the type of guy that you want representing your franchise to be your quarterback, because he embodies what it means to be a leader. When he gets into that locker room, the old heads are going to be the ones that literally follow Cam Ward, because he's going to demand respect in that huddle. Same thing when he came here to Miami, and everybody hear the story about when he called all the receivers and tight ends to throw, and there was one receiver that was missing. So he called the receiver up because this receiver was throwing with Lamar Jackson. Mm-hmm. You know, social media, be with Lamar Jackson, great. So Cam calls him up and is like, "Yo, where you at?" He's like, "Oh, I'm throwing with Lamar." He goes, "I'm just letting you know one thing. Lamar ain't throwing you no touchdowns next year. And if you ain't here in 15 minutes, neither am I." And sure enough, that receiver showed up and threw. And that's the type of leader that you need when it becomes in the NFL, because you see the different guys that they draft and you see all the busts that we have. When it comes to Cam, his journey, he's just not going to fail. He's been successful at every single level and worked his way up.
And I do hope he ends up in a good situation, though.
That's the thing, right? That sucks. Like, you go to the Titans, the only thing that you have for you is that your division's weak. Everything else?
But it's better than going to the Browns.
The Browns would the Browns would be a death sentence.
But the Browns, you have Nick Chubb in the backfield, and you have a great defense.
Oh, man, that's where quarterbacks go to die, though.
I get that, but I'm just saying. And you have what? They're building a new dome they just announced. So you have that. Titans have a new dome. And then you have the Giants, I guess, is the other team that we can all talk about. They're a terrible ran right now, too.
I mean, there's a reason why those guys have the number one overall pick, right? Absolutely. Or, like, they have the top three picks. But if I'm picking out of those three franchises, I get the New York angle because you're in New York. I get it. But I think I'd rather go to the Tennessee Titans. I just don't know if they're going to end up keeping Cam Ward. Like, I don't know. It boggles my mind because Will Levis is just absolutely trash. But
when you have the Mayo take, I mean, I knew after that it was downhill from there. When he had that in the draft night, I was like, what is going on? But, you know, I think they did do a little something in free agency. They picked up two, I believe, a guard and a right tackle. So they're trying. But when you come down to it, with Calvin Ridley on the outside, that's it. Who's your running back, really? You had the kid from Tulane, I believe, last year in the draft. So decent pieces, but not great. But Cam's the guy that you would build around. Like, players would say, you know what? I actually want to play with that quarterback. Because anything throughout the year when you heard the podcast, Michael Parsons, the rest of the guys said, that's the type of quarterback I want on my team. And that's what he's going to embody when he walks into these locker rooms.
How amazing is that for the University of Miami, though, to – yeah, it's like a proof of concept thing almost, all right, right? Like, you know, you bring a guy in, he's not a top pick. What did you say? Day three, and you turn him into the first overall pick. It's a real proof of concept that, like, hey, we can go to Miami and – obviously, Miami used to – their pro days used to be a little different.
Oh, man.
But in your day, right? I'm guessing your pro days were kind of interesting.
It was star-studded my freshman year. Yeah. Absolutely. My freshman year was
ridiculous. Who was your pro day freshman year, you remember?
So we had Vince Wilfork, Vernon Carey, DJ Williams, John Vilma.
That's crazy, man.
Sean Taylor and Kellen Winslow. Those were all our – that was our first-round picks. Just our first-round picks. Mm. So you could see – I think we had – 7 head coaches or 8 head coaches, 5 GMs at just that pro day.
Wow.
So, you know, times have changed, but this pro day on Monday will be star-studded. Because not only do you have Cam Ward, who's potentially be the first overall pick, I think you have a lot of value picks when you have Elijah Roy, who I think is tight end number 2 in this draft on morning. I think he's right there with Loveland. I think he's more athletic than Loveland for Michigan. You have Xavier Restrepo, who is going to be a great number 3 for any team that he goes to.
Where do you think he goes?
I mean, if Bill Belichick was still here, he'd definitely be with the Patriots. But I can see him going to the Seahawks, you know, learning behind Cooper Kupp. You can see him still going to the Patriots as well, too, right?
Because is that what he translates into, a Cooper Kupp type?
Yeah, he's your the guy that you can just trust. He just gets open. He's not going to run the fastest 40.
No.
But when it comes down to game speed and being a quarterback's best friend, that's X. And then work ethic. He's going to outwork everybody in that wide receiver room that he goes to.
I know a lot of people are just going to compare him to Braxton Berrios because they both played at the U.
Players.
But they're different players. But who's the better overall receiver? It is X, right?
So
and it's not diminishing Braxton. Look, Braxton has made himself a really great NFL career.
But Brax is more of a special teamer in the league.
Correct.
Which I think
X has better hands and can just be a great receiver. Right?
He's just going to be a guy that you know it's third down. He might not get me 15 after the catch, but he's going to get the catch and make the first down. I think I saw a lot of people compare him to Amon St. Brown coming out of USC because Amon's kind of the same thing. He's
Amon Ross St. Brown
is a dog. He's dog.
Yeah,
but
like he's
when
legit.
When you watch X is a dog, right? When you watch him in spring when he first came in, I was like, man, he runs like a running back. Like, he would run people over. He's not the fastest and shiftiest dude, but guess what? I don't need you to be. Yeah. I just need you to get open and catch the ball. Because he's mostly going to go against safeties, outside backers, and nickels. So it's not like he's going against the 1 and 2 corners.
So the $4 million question, I guess, is how do you replace Cam Ward? And that is Carson Beck, right? And you and I, we were talking about this off the air for a while. And this is going to be a very interesting thing to watch here because Miami's schedule – it's off and running, man.
Oh, yeah.
There is no time to ease into things. It's go. It's Notre Dame here for the first game. And, you know, the next time we get together, it'll be countdown to kickoff, and we'll be it'll be Notre Dame game, man. He's got to step out there, and the expectations couldn't be higher. You're paying him a lot of money, and he's got to pick this thing up right where Cam Ward left off. I know it's a big task, a lot big shoes to fill, but this guy's got to do it.
But think about it like this. This is how spoiled our fans are, right? When's the last time that we had a quarterback draft in the third round or higher?
Stephen Morris?
Nope. Sixth round. Or
yeah,
seven.
It was like 20 years ago or something, right?
More.
Yeah.
94.
Gino?
Nah.
94. Craig Erickson.
Craig Erickson. Oh, damn. Where did Gino get drafted? Gino even get drafted?
Sixth or seventh round.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. We go from not having a quarterback.
Sorry, Gino.
We go from not having a quarterback prospect drafted in the third round to now being spoiled with Cam Moore. Now we expect Carson Beck, who was rated the number one transfer portal quarterback, and project to be a second-round pick, and now it's like, oh, he's not Cam Ward. No one's going to be Cam Ward. There's no quarterback in college football this year that's going to be Cam Ward. I don't care who it is. Love the kid that went from Washington State to Oklahoma. He's not Cam Ward. Archie Manning's not Cam Ward. Who's the number one quarterback coming back? ASU, Leavitt, Klubnik? They're not Cam Ward. So our expectation's not going to be Cam Ward. Our expectation is, Coach Cristobal, how's the offensive line? How's the run game? How's the defense? Did you elevate everything around it so Carson Beck doesn't have to be Cam Ward? Carson Beck can be Carson Beck. Carson Beck last year, bad year for Georgia standards. Threw for 3,600 yards. Mm-hmm. Do you know what that puts him at University of Miami in the last 20 years?
Top two.
Number one, Cam Ward.
Yeah.
So when it comes down to it, all I need you to be is Carson Beck.
But that's what they did for Cam Ward. To be fair, I'm not taking away what Cam did. I was going to ask you right now, is he the greatest quarterback in terms of one individual season in UM history, but that's what the Canes did, right? They go out, they get Damian Martinez, they beef up the offensive line. Like, you finally had the fat guys up front. So in that first game, he's just chilling in the pocket, and you saw it. Like, let's not get it twisted. It wasn't a Cam Ward offense issue. It was a defense issue that kept Cam Ward from playing in the playoff.
Syracuse just scored again.
Is it fair to say he's the best quarterback that U has ever had in terms of an individual season? I understand body of work, Vinny, Gino, they won Heismans, and they played longer at the U, but it's not crazy for me to say Cam's up there.
No, because like you just said, body of work, right? In 1 year, Cam Ward got to a Heisman finalist. You imagine if Cam Ward were here for 3 years, what that would look like? I mean, if we had Cam Ward this year coming up.
Oh, they'd be the number one team in the country.
Yeah. So,
or right up there, right?
Yeah.
You have to be. You have Cam Ward coming
you would
back.
Think, yeah.
And you would also got a couple more guys in the transfer portal because Cam Ward's staying there. We didn't get the receivers that we wanted because we didn't have that quarterback yet of Carson Beck.
Mm-hmm.
We had Carson Beck kind of similar last year on signing day. We didn't get a receiver that went up north. We don't need to name him, but the reason they won the national championship is because he went up north. The reason he delayed his signing day is because Cam Ward hadn't signed yet. That was the give and take why he didn't. It waited hours to sign. If you bring in J.J. on that team this year, I don't care if there was no defense. We win a national championship because he's just different. So, you know, it's just one of those things where we get spoiled because you have a Cam Ward. But, I mean, listen, he has to go up in the rafters now because it's the season that he had.
For sure.
As talent-wise, he's absolutely the most talented quarterback that ever came through the U.
For sure. And Cristobal has to eat it that he had the most talented quarterback ever at the U.
And we didn't make it to the playoff.
And he didn't make it to the playoff. First ever.
So how do you get over that hump then? That's the big question now, right, is how do you get over that Syracuse and, you know, those I don't call them middling ACC teams, but those are the teams that have had your number forever. How do you get over that hump and finally?
You got to keep building.
You know, get to the conference championship and win the conference championship.
You have to keep building, right? Because if you look at the rosters, right, everyone keeps talking about roster. Our roster is not complete.
Mm-hmm.
And hasn't been complete in years. The reason why the Georgias, the Alabamas, the Clemsons, the world is top to bottom, front to back, the rosters are complete. Our offense last year, elite. Our back end of our defense, trash. So what did they go? Four corners and safeties in the transfer portal. Do you need another linebacker? Most likely. Another defensive line? Most likely. You got to keep building the roster, and you have to keep stacking talent. Is it difficult in the transfer era and NIL era? Absolutely, because kids will up and leave. But the more you stack, the better you have a chance of not having to have a Cam Ward to win a national championship. Georgia won it with Carson Beck and Spencer. What's his name again? The dude that went to the Rams? Bennett. Bennett. He's not an elite quarterback, but they built a roster that you just can't compete with. I mean, the Eagles won with all of Georgia's defenders.
The only thing I remember about that kid is after the season, didn't he get arrested for public intoxication?
Sounds about right.
He peed his pants at the water fountain or whatever.
So the only way to do it is talent acquisition and building your roster.
Brian Monroe, before I let you go here, what are you going to go pop bottles with Tua at the Palm Tree Club? I mean, this Tua Tagovailoa, the guy, you know, probably should be in the – in the gym, shouldn't he? Instead, he's popping bottles everywhere. He's on a boat. He's on a yacht drinking beer. I mean, he's living the life Brian Monroe's living, and the Dolphins just paid him $200 million guaranteed to get back in the gym, get ready for the season.
So let me ask you a question. The 500 other guys that are training in South Florida right now that pop bottles on the weekend and go on the yachts, why come nobody's saying anything about them?
Because you didn't make them your franchise cornerstone, and he missed all of last season or half of last season.
Okay, so if he had been winning, you guys wouldn't care?
Not at all.
Absolutely. So that's the reason with fans. Let the man enjoy life. If I grind Monday through Saturday, and on the afternoon I want to go pop a bottle, I can go pop a bottle.
That place looks fun, though, too, I will say.
It looks awesome.
The Palm Tree Club.
Oh, I went there. I went to Diplo.
Yeah. Well, Monroe, here's the problem. Me and Tua have the same body. I mean, what the hell's going on there?
Nah, you ain't got Tua's body. I know you think you go to the gym, but you ain't got Tua's body.
Me and Tua.
Actually,
and Tua
they both are very injury-prone.
The injury-prone.
Same body fat,
different.
Monroe. Same body fat.
Remember this. We talked about talent acquisition. You gonna blame the quarterback when you can't block a cold? Like, you got no offensive line. Give the man some help.
Brian Monroe, thank you for stopping by.
Absolutely. Come on out here to Buckets and Bed. It's a great time, great setup. You can talk to the boys, give them a little help.
Yeah, and you'll get some stories about all the star studded Canes roster that Monroe just listed as well. He'll be out here.
We did have a little bit. Oh, yeah, and then later on we had Antro Roll as well, John Beeson, Greg Olson, Brandon Merriweather, just a couple guys, Frank Gore, Devin Hester. I mean, you know, it's all right. A little bit of roster.
Crazy. Now we're doing 2 hours on Cam Ward every day. Brian Monroe, thanks, Ben. We'll take a break. Hollywood, Solana, Jimmy, Dan Day. We're out here at the Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. It's our Buckets and Bets event. We're watching all the games. We'll take you up until 6 p.m.
This is the Hawk and Crowder Show.
Everybody's younger than Hawk.
Hawk and Crowder.